Good morning, brothers and sisters. So good to see all of you here this morning. You all look bright and cheery. Say to your person on your left, I'm blessed to be sitting next to you. On your right, it's your privilege to sit next to me. Would you do that? Okay, right. Fantastic. Well, I first preached here almost 40 years ago. That was in the days of Jurassic Park. How many were here 40 years ago? Can I see your hands? Wow. There are a few Jurassic Park species around. Praise God. The rest of you, welcome to Jurassic Park where cavemen roam the earth. Because this weekend is Malaysia Day weekend. And Pastor Mark wanted to speak about nation building. Yeah. So I want to speak about Christian engagement in nation building. We can read from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. And after that, Pastor Mark will read in Bahasa to all of us. See, normally in church, when I'm preaching, I try to get everybody to read the Word of God aloud together. Three important reasons why I do this. Firstly, we are making a public proclamation of the Word of God. Now, you and I know, friends, living in Malaysia, we hear five public proclamations every day from somewhere. Amen? Hey, are you Malaysians or not? Right or not? We hear five from the mosque or surau. Why are we not, as God's people, proclaiming the word of the living God? Secondly, friends, the Bible tells us faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why when we go hospital visitation, we read the word of God aloud to the person who is sick to build faith in it, because the word of God says faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. So that together, when we believe in God by faith, God will bring release healing upon all of us. The third reason is we want to establish the truth of God's word on earth as it is in heaven. God's word is always true in heaven. Amen. Let's establish the truth on earth as well. So let's stand in honor of God's word to read God's word aloud together. Romans 13. In the most loudest, robust, okay, Pantai Baptist voices in the NIV, never incorrect version of the Bible. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror to those who do right, but for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give the full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Our Father, we ask you to take your word, speak to us and challenge us and draw us in response. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. How many of us think and believe Malaysia is a great and a wonderful country? Can I see your hands? Wow, my goodness, there's nothing else for me to preach. Let me close in prayer, let's go home. Since this country is such a great country. How many of us sometimes we make complaints about Malaysia? See your hands. What happened now? Just now I say very great, now we make complaints about Malaysia. Yeah, really. I find Malaysians love to complain about Malaysia, including Christians. All the things that are wrong. And many times I have to stop these Christians, for example, to not talk bad about Malaysia, because when we are cursing and running out of the country. As Christians, which is big, something positive, we want to together build our nation. Amen. So when these people are negative, I will stop them. I say, can we not say something good about Malaysia? There are many good things about Malaysia. Amen. Let me rattle off just five good things about Malaysia. Our infrastructure is world-class. Our roads and bridges and highways are world-class. Amen. Secondly, what about our travel and communication networks are fantastic. Flying in and out of airport is a zip, really. Thirdly, the weather is wonderful. We don't have to worry about summer wear, winter wear, spring wear, autumn wear. One wear, same wear, cheap wear some more. Fourthly, the food is wonderful, wonderful. Yep. Amen. Finally, the people are the best, especially for Pantai Baptist Church. Yeah, so why are we still quarreling? This country is terrible, isn't it? It is so important, friends, for us to recognize that in our nation, God has put it is a wonderful country, which we should be thankful about. And I'm sure God makes no mistakes in making us Malaysians or putting us here in Malaysia. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible, I call it a Malaysian verse. is Acts chapter 17, verse 26, where it says, from one man, God made every nation of men. He designed for them to live wherever and exact places where they should live. See, friends, it says there in that script passage of scripture, God determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. So therefore, God in his wisdom and economy has designed for us to be here in Malaysia. Therefore, there must be the purpose of God for putting us here. Therefore, if that is so, how can I be engaged in nation building? And the Bible tells us at least four reasons why you and I should be involved in building our nation wherever God has put us in. The first and foremost is the biblical understanding of this world that God has given to us. Because Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. See, this world we live in, it belongs to God. And because it belongs to God, therefore you and I, especially who are God's children, should be engaged, involved in this world. And not withdraw and have nothing to do with this world. We should be world affirmers and not world deniers. Secondly, friends, what happens? The Bible tells us of our understanding theologically, okay, of who God is. And that's how you notice when Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16 tells us like this. But the Lord Almighty will be exalted by his justice, and the holy God will show himself holy by his righteousness. So we see here, friends, our God is a God of justice and righteousness. But he's also the God of truth. Because Jesus says like this to us in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So because our God is a God of truth, justice, and righteousness, that's the reason why, friends, you and I must be involved in this world that God is concerned about. So that where there is injustice and unrighteousness, we as Christians should be burdened and concerned about. Not only that, friends, we find that Solomon, when he was put into power, that's what, friends, you know, right, this is told about King Solomon. Because here, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 8, it says like this, praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God. Because of the love of your God for Israel and his sight uphold them forever, he has made you king over them to maintain justice and righteousness. So you notice, friends, Solomon is put there, right, on behalf of God to rule the nation of Israel to ensure that there is justice and righteousness that will be there. And of course, yes. If there is justice and righteousness, we know there will be truth undergirding the whole thing as well. So therefore, as Christians, we're engaged with this world because firstly, of the biblical understanding, what this world is about, but the theological understanding, who this God is. That's the third reason why. It's God's command to human beings. So Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 28, where it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God has put human beings on earth to rule, subdue, and dominion over the whole earth. To ensure that there is law and order across the board in existence of everything in this world. But there's a fourth reason why you and I as Christians are engaged with this world. It is because of God's design for human beings. And so therefore, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it tells us like this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So human beings are there to cultivate the land, to nurture the steward in such a manner that there will be culture as well as civilization existing in the process. That's the reason out of that, what happens is cultures and civilizations and nations starts to arise. So you notice, friends, God has a wonderful design and purpose for this world. And he has put us here to be involved, engaged with this world. Now, if that is so, then how should we relate to the governing authorities then? Because you notice here in scripture, the Bible tells us a number of things about governing authorities that we come under as well. First and foremost, friends, we've got to recognize that authorities are established by God. And that's what Paul tells us, like Romans chapter 13, verse 1, which you read just now. Everyone must submit himself to governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Sometimes I know it is hard, it's difficult, especially when authorities are unjust and unrighteous. But living in the world that we are, in this world here in Malaysia, as soon as anywhere else, we recognize that at the end of it all, it is still established by God. Not only is it established by God, we've noticed that, friends, the Bible also tells us that we have to learn to submit to it. So verse 2 of Romans 13, the Bible tells us like this, consequently, he who rebels authority is rebelling against what God has established, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, we're told to submit. But can I add one more proviso, friends? it is not a blind submission. Because when authorities are wrong, whether say, thus says the Lord, you are not right. For example, apostles Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin and they were told by their highest religious authority, preach no more in the name of Jesus. Why? Because what happens? Authorities overstep the boundaries when the gospel is not allowed to be preached. That's why apostles Peter and John said to the authorities, judge for yourself whom you obey, God or man. So therefore, likewise, friends, even living in Malaysia, when the authorities overstep the boundaries, where they say, this is so far and no more, you can go. For example, as we know here in Malaysia, the word Allah is banned from being used by non-Muslims. And so the Catholic Church publication called Catholic Herald were told not to publish anymore because it was what Allah in the publication. Of course, the Catholic Church took the authorities to court. And at the High Court judge ruled against the government and said, no, the church is allowed to keep on using the word Allah. And of course, when the government appealed and went on to the Court of Appeal ruled against the Catholic Church and said, no, you cannot use it, the word Allah. So when this ruling was made by the Court of Appeal, I, in my church in GMC, one weekend when I preached to my church, I said very nicely, graciously, but very firmly, it is not the business of the authorities to tell us what words we can use, cannot use in the practice of our faith. It's our right to use the faith in terms of practice of our faith. And I'm so glad this morning, all of you singing the word Allah, it appears many times in your song. Amen. Amen. Good job. Well done, Pantai Baptist Church. How many of you take part in birthday rally? Can I see your hands? Birthday, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many took part? Well done. Good job. Okay. Well done. All right. I encourage my church members, my pastors to go as well. Because if you look at what birthday stands for, it lines up perfectly with our Christian understanding of church and state. That's why, friends, as I said, we are supposed to submit to authorities, but it is not a blind submission. It is an intelligent submission to the powers that be. The third reason, friends, in our relationship with authorities is that they are God's servants. That's why verse 4, Romans 13 tells us this. For he, referring to ruling authorities, for he is God's servant, do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So you can see, friends, in just this one verse, the words God's servant appear twice. So authorities are God's servants to punish those who do wrong and to uphold those who do right. But when they punish those who do right and uphold those who do wrong, the authorities have lost the right to rule. That's why, as I said earlier on, it's an intelligent submission on our part as God's people to our authorities. But there's a fourth reason in our relationship with the governing authorities, that we together with them will work together for truth, justice and righteousness in our nation, for example. Because the authorities need the cooperation of the people in the land. And especially for us as people of the land, we need to work together with the authorities in order that there'll be greater truth and justice and righteousness in our nation. Especially for you and I who are Christians, we need to work together with authorities for the good of our nation. Amen. Christians should be in the forefront of seeking to do good to our land and our nation. Say to your neighbor, he's talking about you. That's what we are here for, isn't it? As Christians especially, contribute towards the good of our land and our nation. Friends, if that is so, therefore, then how should we as Christians, therefore, in this regard here, engage in nation building? Let me suggest a few areas and things that you and I could be engaged in. First and foremost, friends, it is to pray for our nation. And this is what, friends, Apostle Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, Paul writes like this. Come, why don't we all read together aloud? Together, come. I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So friends, this is the first responsibility for us as Christians, to pray. And prayer is powerful and important. Amen. How many of us, we pray for Malaysia regularly? See your hand. Wow. Well done. God bless you all. How many of us pray, especially in a run of the general elections 14 in May 2018? Great. Can you see how many of us we pray for that for our nation? Okay. Some many churches, I believe probably you also, you have overnight prayer for our nation on May the 8th, May the 9th, isn't it? In fact, the Sunday before I was preaching in Singapore, May the 6th, I was preaching in St. Andrew's Cathedral, the Anglican Cathedral in Singapore. Halfway through my sermon, all three services, I stopped. I said, I want to speak to Malaysians who are here in this audience. So I appealed to them, Can you all Malaysians who are here working in Singapore, living in Singapore, for goodness sake, perform your national duty on May the 9th, election day? Because every single vote counts. Amen? Right now. And many of us gather on May the 8th to pray like crazy for next day what's going to happen. And praise God, God heard our prayers and a miracle took place on May the 9th. You and I know what happened May the 9th. There was such a euphoria across the country. So much so that even Malaysians living overseas, you want to move back to Malaysia now.
Malaysia.
I know people move back because why? They felt there's a new day and a new dawn for Malaysia. So Malaysia got hope, got future. Amen. So you and I, friends, must realize and recognize the importance and the power of prayer for us as Christians. The second thing, friends, you and I should be involved is to advocate for our nation. And it's how Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 tells us like this. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor. So, friends, here we are told to speak on behalf of the poor, the needy, the marginalized. This is what advocacy is all about. That as Christians, we cannot keep quiet when there's injustice and unfairness. When people are abused and taken advantage of. Whether in a workplace, in society, wherever they are. See, I'm involved in journeying with business leaders, some of them in this country. And some of these companies are big, huge companies here in Malaysia. I say to them, I don't just look at your senior management and how good they are right at the top with you. I look all the way down to your workers, to your cleaners and your sweepers. I want to know how you treat them. I also want to know how you pay them. And sometimes for some of your workers, you need to provide housing for them. I want to know what is the state and the condition of the housing you provide for them. You cannot say, Pastor, everybody does it, so what's wrong? I say, it is wrong because we are Christians. And as Christians, friends, it is so important to treat our workers with dignity and respect. This is part and parcel of Christian witness and testimony. And friends, you and I must remember, we are children of God, Christians. We must live with a different standard altogether. We can't say, because everybody does it, it doesn't make it right. We are God's children who stand for justice and righteousness and truth as well. Amen. Your pastor is very detailed, making sure every single word is translated properly. Give her a big hand when you do that. I know people who translate for me is hard work because I tend to speak very fast because I'm like a bullet train that tries to give as much as possible, therefore. No, I'm talking about him, not about me. Friends, that's the third reason why you and I as Christians got to be engaged in nation building. To be a reconciling agent. And that's how you know this, friends. The Apostle Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18. Paul says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So therefore, friends, living in our nation, we seek to really, as much as possible, get people being reconciled with God. That's the greatest and the most important reconciliation. Because when they're reconciled with God, their lives will increase, will change and transformed. That's why anywhere, everywhere I go, I try to get people to be reconciled with God. For example, just yesterday, I was speaking, okay, at a group, right, that comes from Kuala Lumpur Methodist, Wesley Methodist Church. About 100 of them, most of them are senior citizens. I look at them, their hair like mine, all running away. So once upon a time, we got long hair. Now we are longing for hair. Once upon a time, we loved Rolling Stones. How many rock band Rolling Stones? How many see you?
Rolling Stones.
So once upon a time, we loved Rolling Stones. Now we struggle with kidney stones. God have mercy upon all of us. And nowadays, sometimes we come down from our double-story house. And when we come downstairs, we say, why did I come downstairs for? How many can identify with that? Say to your neighbor, your friend is not up. Your turn will come very soon. Really, time passed by very quickly. In a blink of an eye, so many years have gone past. So in a blink of an eye, I'm 74 years old. And this is scary. Because your runway is getting shorter and shorter. That's why my urge, we must maximize our life for the kingdom of God. Because in God's kingdom, there is no retirement. Amen. We serve all the way to the end. So yesterday, you know the topic they assigned to me? The oldest is more than 90 years old. And the topic they assigned to me is this. How to age gracefully and fruitfully. Ask a young man to speak to old people about aging. So I spoke to them. At the end, one medical doctor, 81 years old, coming to the meeting with his wife, also a doctor, for the first time. He came out to me and said, Pastor, what you say is so remarkable. You talk like a doctor. I said, I'm a quack doctor. I said, no, I'm actually an engineer before. And he was so impacted by what I said. At the end, I sat down with him and the wife and led him and the wife both to faith in Christ. See, friends, can I say that many unfortunate people heard the amazing good news of Jesus Christ? How we can age well, age strong, and age powerfully for Jesus. Therefore, friends, our job, yours and mine, is to be a reconciling agent, bring people to have a right relationship with God. And therefore, for this couple, I could see they feel so much joy at the end of the meeting. And then he told me, when I was a student studying Methodist Boys' School, in KL, in Form 5, religious knowledge, I got very good grades for it. But I told him, actually, I always failed religious knowledge. But friends, you know, God can turn things around. Friends, it is not how much we know up here. It's how real we experience inside here. Amen. It is here and not just here. That is vitally important for all of us. So how should we be engaged in nation building? First, we spend to pray for our nation regularly and faithfully. Secondly, friends, for you and I, therefore, as a people of God, to advocate on behalf of all that is unjust and unfair in our nation. Thirdly, be a wonderful reconciling agent. Fourth and finally, friends, be a transforming agent. And that's how Jesus tells us like this, friends, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Let's read this passage of scripture together one last time. Together. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. See, friends, that's your job and my job as yeast. A small amount mixed with the flour, it transformed the whole flour to become a wonderful dough, a wonderful loaf of bread. That's my challenge, friends, oftentimes to all of us who are there working in a workplace or a marketplace, or to students in school, college, and universities, or those of us who are homemakers in our neighborhood, or those of us who are retired senior citizens with friends around us. What are we doing if we are to be transforming agents wherever God has put us in? Sometimes a person works at a company. I ask, how many years have you worked in a company? 5 years. I say, how many have you led to faith in Christ? And he tells me, zero. I say, mana bule. Fantastic translation. You work for 5 years. What does faith mean for you in a workplace? By 5 years, there should be at least 32 Christians in a company. My goodness, Pastor, is there something wrong with you? How do you get 32? I said, it's very simple. First year, you lead one to faith in Christ. And then you disciple that guy. And in the second year, tell that guy, each one of us target to lead one to faith in Christ. So therefore, second, it becomes four of you now. All right? And you disciple three of them. And you tell them, the following year, each one of us will lead one to faith in Christ. And so year three becomes eight of you. Year four, 16. Year 5, 32. That's how you get 32. Friends, if you go in a simple math like this, by year 10, you know how many people have you touched in your company? You would have seen 1,024 coming to faith in Christ. You would have changed and transformed your company. And friends, that's my challenge to all of you there. What are we doing about it? The amazing good news of Christ being a transforming agent. Let me pose this final question to all of you, which is this. First year, I lead someone to faith in Christ. I disciple that guy. Next year, we go out, each one of us lead one to faith in Christ. And so year two becomes four of us. Then I do the same every year. So therefore, first year is two. Second year is four. Okay, third year is eight. Then 16, 32. How many years will it take to win a world of 8 billion people to faith in Christ like this? Anyone can tell me the answer? If you can tell me the answer, free lunch with Pastor Mark afterwards. Anyone? Going, gone, sorry.
Okay.
See, I ask this question around the world. I preach in more than 40 countries in all six continents. So far, one young man gave me the answer. And this young man gave me the answer in a church in Shenzhen, China, I preached in. Within 20 seconds, he raised up his hand. He worked out in his mind. 20 seconds, he put up his hand. And he said to me, Pastor Daniel, when you touch 30 years, you reach 1 billion people. 31 years, 2 billion. 32 years, 4 billion. 33 years, you're home. I said, young man, spot on, very clever Chinaman. The next audience I want to test would be the Jewish audience. Whether the Jews are as smart as Chinese or not. You've just missed a wonderful lunch with Pastor Mark now. So friends, can I say, Mother Teresa was asked, what's your goal in life, Mother Teresa? You know what is her response? To change the world. Wow, we thought this must be very arrogant, very proud to make that kind of goal. And she said this, one at a time. Just one at a time. And if you do this like this, what I've just mentioned, friends, in many, many of you in your lifetime, you can change the whole world. So change Malaysia, we got a problem. Amen. You are not convinced anymore. Yeah, seriously, friends. You and I must seize every moment, every opportunity to make it count. Make it count for Jesus. Amen. Okay, since you're such a good audience, let me close with one final example for all of you. I was flying from Kuala Lumpur with my wife Doris to Cairo, Egypt, for me to preach in this great church called Casa Dubara. It's the largest church in the whole of Middle East. Today, it's 7,000 strong. In the first sector, we flew from Kuala Lumpur to Abu Dhabi, stayed for the night with a Malaysian friend, and then flew onwards to Cairo. How many have been to Abu Dhabi? See your hands. Wow, well-traveled lot here. Pantai Baptist, very wealthy people here. Okay, and so we stayed with a Malaysian friend. Next morning, before he took us to the airport, he said, Daniel, Doris, I'd like to take you to the presidential palace for a visit. I was surprised. I said, you mean we ordinary people can go to the presidential palace? Yes, it used to belong to the emir of the Sultan Abu Dhabi. He has turned over to the state government, and the state government has converted into a 6-star hotel. Yeah, I said, 6-star, why not come? Let's go. My goodness, the hotel, everything is big and huge. Even you sit in a chair, your difficulty is getting out from the chair. Anyway, on the way out, I told my wife, can't let's use the toilet, because at least the toilet is free of charge. Clever Malaysian, anything free, let's go for it. So she used the ladies, I used the gents. After that, I walked to her to pick up a paper napkin to dry my hand. There's a hotel staff, a very smart hotel uniform, handing over to me the paper napkin. I said, thank you so much indeed, okay, for serving us and keeping the toilet clean for the comfort, convenience hotel guests. I said, what's your name? Name tag here, Mandakali. I said, where are you from? India. Which part of India? Chennai. It's a great city. I've been there several times. I said, how long you worked here? 6 months. I said, you must really love working in this fancy hotel. He says, no. I said, why not? I miss my family. I said, Mandakali, my name is Daniel Ho. You're very special. Out of 7 billion, God take a pastor to meet you in the toilet. Of all people, God sent a pastor to meet you here in the toilet. So I shared with him Jesus. I challenged him to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said, okay. I said, that's very good, Mandakali. Only Jesus, no other gods, okay? Because in Hinduism, they believe in 330 million gods. So adding one more Jesus, where got problem? Right now. I said, only Jesus, no other gods. He said, okay. I led him to faith in Christ. Now, how many of you, you like to meet my friend Mandakan in heaven one day? Can I see your hands? Wow, so many of you. God bless you. I love this fantastic church, Pastor Mark. I shared this story with my church. And that Sunday morning, I said, how many we meet my friend Mandakan in heaven one day? Out of more than 1,000 people, only 3 hands went up. I scolded my church. You terrible people, no faith. I love Pantai Baptist, your people of faith. Maybe I should move here now. See, Mandakali, one day he sees me in heaven. He's so excited when he saw me in heaven. He will run towards me and he will slap me hard on the shoulder. And he will say, brother, brother, you recognize me? I looked at him, sorry, I don't recognize you. Because I talked to so many people all over the world. And so he will say to me, hey, brother, brother, Mandakali, Mandakali, Abu Dhabi toilet. Yeah, of course, Mandakali. And he might just say this to me, brother, I want to let you know, that was the best toilet experience in my whole life. So what is the key, the moral of the story? Be a transforming agent even in the toilet. That's an amazing thing you and I can do. Be a reconciling agent, but also be a transforming agent. Because we're impacted by the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will in turn go and impact other people around them. So that together we change society. Together we change our nation. So that Malaysia will never be the same again. Amen. Let us pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to extend an invitation first and foremost. I don't want to assume that we are all Christians. You might even have come here more than once, but in your heart, you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You come here, God wants you to know He loves you. You are special. Jesus went all the way to the cross because of His love for you. He died for your sin, indeed the sins of the whole world. So that today, if you're willing to take the step of faith, say, Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. I believe in you. You are in for the start of a wonderful walk with Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to trust in Jesus today, at a count of 3, wherever you're seated, could you raise up your hand? Raise up high so I can see your hand. I want to pray. Are you ready? 1, 2, and 3. Can I see your hand? Anyone? Is there anyone? You may be a child. God loves every child. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. And then one upstairs. Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Could you say after me this prayer? Those who put up their hands, and church, can I ask you to join in to pray aloud with these people to encourage these people? And so you say after me, those who put up hands, church, join in as well. It's okay? So say after me, Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank and praise you for your love for me. Lord Jesus, I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins and come right now into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and your power, and give me your love, your joy, your peace, and your hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, for those who prayed this prayer, whether their hands are up or not, as long as they pray this prayer sincerely, you know it all. And Holy Spirit, seal it deep in every heart, every life, and bring this new birth and new life to pass, and enable these precious ones, Father, I pray, to be discipled in the fellowship here of this wonderful church. They will grow strong, that they will in turn, Father, reach out to share Jesus with people around. So bless all these precious ones, Father, I pray, oh God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Can I say, for those who prayed that prayer just now, make yourself known to Pastor Mark and the leaders of the church. We really want to help to follow up so you will be built up strong as a child of God. Okay, can I ask you to stand? I want to pray a closing prayer for all of us together. Pray that God will use us indeed to be reconciling, transforming agent in our nation where God has put us. If you don't mind, can I ask you to raise up your hands like this? Because this is a great posture, a posture of humility. And God loves the humble in heart. But it's also a posture of receptivity, because God wants to pour His grace, His goodness into our lives. So Heavenly Father, I pray for all these, my precious brothers and sisters. Thank you for their lives and their faith and faithfulness. Fill each one again with your Spirit and your power, and enable them to live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ in Malaysia. Use them to be reconciling, transforming agent for you. So that together, Father, I pray, we'll build a great nation. So that many, many in our land will be touched, saved, and transformed. So that Malaysia will never be the same again. So bless all of us, Father, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. You want to give a clap offering to Jesus. Amen. Amen.